chapter 1 with verse 16. We had a good, Becky and I went down to a Kathy Tricoli concert, and Kathy, you know, some of y'all may remember her or not, it doesn't matter, but she's kind of like our age. She's a little bit, a couple years younger than Becky and I, and so I especially have gone to see her. Becky's seen her more. In fact, she was involved in us, Becky, the Lord changing Becky's mind about going to adopt faith. So we kind of have we wanted to tell her about it, didn't get to, but it was a very good and time together that we had, and thank you for letting us do that. For our anniversary, she was at my niece's church. It's so funny, everybody we sit with used to be Baptist. I don't know what that says, but anyway, they were real nice anyway. It was St. Mark's Methodist Church. But anyway, what we want to think about this is this, and write this down, because our Christian faith is not the result of the cunningly devised false fable of the false teachers. Now, understand, false teaching is not anything new. Ever since Jesus left this world, there have been false teachers. Let me turn my cell phone, Dennis. There have been false teachers. And these teachers, to be honest with you, these people have just sought to destroy the work of the Lord from the very beginning. And Peter describes these people as cunningly, their writings as cunningly devised false fables. I thought that was pretty cool. So let's read it in verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly, this is a different translation, devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Remember that? When he was baptized and the Lord spoke and said, "This is my Son, I'm well pleased with him." Peter was there. He was an eyewitness. Verse 18. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. First, we saw Jesus referring to Peter referring to the baptism and the Mount of Transfiguration. Listen, there were false teachers who never even knew Jesus, who were making up stuff off of the top of their heads based on their own intelligence and loosely based on Judaism or even pagan religions, and were confusing the early Christians who were new believers. understand that many of the new Christians had been Jews, but a good number of them had never been Jews, and they did not even know what Holy Scripture was. The Jewish people, of course, understood that the Old Testament writings and the prophetic writings were holy words of God. But these Christians who were new Christians from Gentile background, they had no idea about any of it. And it's kind of like the world in which we live, folks. We are in an age where if you don't believe the Word of God, and nobody believes it unless you have grown up in the church and have studied and know what it is, you know, you have been lied to about what the Bible really is. And basically, if the Word of God is not gone by, you just kind of make up your own thing, or you find someone who sounds pretty good to you, and you follow them. It's just like the poor Muslim people. You know, they don't know. They don't know about the Word of God. They got this crazy book called the Quran that was written by an insane person, and they think that's a holy book. And it just, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Or you've got the Mormons who have their Book of Mormons, who was given by the Angel Macaroni to Joseph Smith. And, of course, the original gold tablets, unfortunately, they were lost. And so you go by that instead of the Word of God. You know, or you can just make up your own thing. If you don't have the Word, you can just make your own little thing up. And that's what was going on. That's what was going on. Peter had personally, he knew that Jesus was God's Son because he had personally witnessed the transfiguration. If you will, keep your finger there, but go back to Matthew chapter 17. I mean, look at it, verse 1. And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, we'll make three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, and we'll just park it here." And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Shut up, Peter, and listen. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were much afraid. So, wow. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." And lifting up their eyes, I saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Look, Peter had seen these things. Peter knew who Jesus was. He didn't have to make up some wild hair story about Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. He had literally seen God giving Jesus glory. And then there's a reference here in verse 19, going back to 2 Peter, about the morning star. And we have seen the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The morning star is Jesus. Jesus. It's Jesus. Revelation 22:16. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give this testimony to you for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David. I am the bright and morning star. But until Jesus returns, until the morning star returns, this is what we have. We have the prophetic word of God. It is a witness to his divinity and our God in this sinful world in which we live. It's very important. I just have to tell you this, guys. It is very important what those youngins are doing over there. They're going to go, before too long, to a college. I mean, it ain't going to be. Some of y'all went to college. It ain't going to be like you went to. You know, it's not going to be like you went to, and it's not like, certainly not like what I went to. If they do not have the Word of God ingrained in their hearts and in their souls, they are going to struggle. And they're going to struggle anyway, and that's okay. Struggles are good. That's what makes you strong. I mean, no problem with the struggling. We need more struggles. I think the problem with the church is we've had it too easy. But we must prepare them for the struggle, and that's why I'm all about that Bible drill and learning the Word of God in anything, any kind of teaching we can do. Because there are false teachers, verse 20. Know this first of all, that no prophecy of the Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. These false teachers were promoting this inward living. And what they were doing was denying the inspiration of Scripture. And what they were doing, they were simply saying that what you think is what God gives you. You don't have to worry about what the Word of God says, because if you are a Christian, you have just as much right and contact with God as these people who are writing the Bible. Just as much as the apostles, just as much as old Moses, just as much as Ezekiel or Isaiah or any, you're a Christian. You can know as much about anything as they can do. You don't really, it's not an important thing. And folks, we hear it all of the time. People think that they can come up with their own ideas about things, and that's as good as what they're going to hear in church or what they're going to read in the Word of God or whatever. And it's something to be leery of, because to be honest with you, there are some weird people out there. And if we are going to be leave everything that anyone comes up with that sounds pretty good, we are going to be into more and more trouble. You're going to have more Jim Joneses, more people in Waco. You're going to have more people in different cults and things of that nature, because we must go by what the Word of God says. And basically what this says here stomps on this is it explains that the writers of the Bible were well-educated and good and talented men. But most importantly, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And because of this guidance, the Scripture, the Bible, is from God. Now, I'll be honest with you. Peter here is obviously referring to the Old Testament. That's what he's talking about, the prophetic word, the prophets in the Old Testament and things of that nature. Because when he was writing this, I don't even know that Peter and Paul and John and people of that nature really had a comprehension that they were writing the Word of God. You know, they may have or they may have not. I think particularly Paul, he was trying to write to encourage these churches that he had started. And it was all so inspired from God, by God, that it is timeless. And so any church that has ever been can learn from it. It's the same way with Peter here, you know. Peter wrote down this information, and God inspired it, and God not only has it inspired it, God has protected and preserved it, you know, for over 2,000 years. And that is, you know, you know, I was reading this silly thing the other day. It's amazing what you can find on the internet. I was looking up something. You know how I had read something somewhere, and I was trying to get the quote, and so I thought, well, maybe if I just put part of the quote in on the internet, it'll come up. And I got all this old goofy stuff. And, of course, one of the things I got was this guy that is talking about the pseudepigrapha. And I have one in my office. The pseudepigrapha is writings that were written that were pseudo writings. There were fake writings that were written, you know, 400 or 500 years after the apostles, but they were supposedly, at that time, there was a lot of doubt because they thought, well, Thomas, for example, the gospel according to Thomas. There is no such thing as gospel according to Thomas because Thomas didn't write a gospel. This was written like 400 or 500 years after Thomas died. But, you know, and it's stupid. If you read it, it's stupid. It's about Jesus when he's a little boy. He goes out and he's playing in the creek, and he makes up these little toy clay pigeons. So he wants to play with them, so he brings them to life. You know, and stuff like that. It's just silly stuff. But this guy's making the point that so much of the Bible was really left out. No, it wasn't. It wasn't a part of the Bible. It was stupid, you know. The Word of God, and really and truly, nobody even knew about all of that stuff. And recently, it's kind of been brought back out of the shadows or whatever. But the Word of God has stood the test of time. And it has been studied and studied and studied. And it all, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And verse 21 again says, no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but by men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Write this down. It can be trusted and it can be obeyed because it's God's word written by holy men who were led by the Holy Spirit. And Paul writes about it too. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we've all heard this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And I want to tell you this. The only way to defeat false prophets is with the Word of God. That's the only way. You can't do it by reasoning with them, okay? They will out-reason you under the table, you know. You can't do it by trying to carry on a logical conversation or by debating or something of that nature. It's just the Word of God. Now, you guys have heard me say this all along. All along I say this, you do not need to antagonize people by telling them that what they believe is stupid. Okay? That isn't going to accomplish anything. It doesn't hurt to listen to them. But then you take the Word of God and you use that with them. Okay? And if you are polite in listening to them, hopefully they'll be polite and listen to you. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they get, and because particularly if there's a demon involved or if there's Satan involved, he doesn't want to hear the Word of God. He doesn't want you using the Word of God, you know. But that's the only way you can do anything about false teaching. You know, if you want to talk to a Jehovah's Witness, you must use your Bible. Don't let them use theirs. It's theirs, they fixed. And it's the same way with the Mormons. You know, they've got their own thing. You know, you must use your Bible, and you must know it well enough to talk with them. But you must do it in a loving way. You don't need to be mean, okay? And I just mean, you know, I don't know if y'all read the Baptist Record, but I like some of the things, some of those churches, you know, that are being started. One of the things they do, and they're kind of getting away from this starting a giant church mentality. Y'all, have you been reading about, did you read about that, Wade, where, you know, basically the thing is, one of them particularly, they have a three-step thing. You know, you pray, and you go out, and you meet a friend, and then you talk to them. You can invite them to church, and you develop a friendship. You know, there's no big deal about that. That's what the Bible says you're supposed to do. You pray, you meet a friend, and then you talk to them about the Lord after you've developed a relationship, invite them to church or whatever. And nothing wrong with that. I think that's a good way to do it, you know. And but you must use the Word of God. If you get off here and you try to do all of this, get too fancy with them, it ain't going to work, guys. I promise you. You must have the Word of God. It's the only way. Now we want to talk about some of this because it's important that we do this. It's important that we study the Word, but it's important for us to think about, well, what have we talked about that's so important? Because it is. It's the Word of God, so it's important. And I want to just think about this. Why do you think it's an important thing that Peter had personally seen the things he had seen when he was with Jesus? Is that important?
Nothing better than a good witness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to listen to somebody that was there more than you're going to listen to somebody that wasn't there. You know, it's just like, you know, there's a car wreck out here on the road, you know. You're going to talk to the person. I guarantee you, if the state police get there, they're going to want to talk to the people who saw it, not the people who heard about it. I mean, because you can hear anything. I mean, how many of y'all have ever heard about a wreck or something like that, and when you find out it was a total stupid, nothing that you heard was true? How many times? Or you know, it's like my famous story about Clyde Bates and dying, you know, and you go, and Brother Zeke called me and go, Clyde Bates died, go over and see Mary and his sister. Who lived. So I go over and knock on the door. It's the middle of the night, and no one lies, and Clyde comes to the door. And he wasn't happy. He wanted to know why I woke him up at 4 a.m. And I said, well, I heard you is dead. No, I ain't dead. Get out of here. You know? And what happened? His car had died. I'm not making that up. His car had died out on the highway, and somebody down at the store heard someone about Clyde and dying. Never happens around here, though, does it? No. But it's important because, look, you've got the Word of God. That's what you go by. You don't go by what you hear some guy, some intellectual who has found the lost books of the Bible. That's the silliest thing. It's a pseudepigrapha, which is a fake writings, you know, that were not, you know, and even when they were written, people knew they were fake. I mean, think about this. The Bible was written by eyewitnesses. Think about that. The people who wrote the books of the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, were people who saw it, who witnessed what they wrote. Now, how does that make it more trustworthy? We've already talked about that. But when you're talking to someone, does that make a good argument? What do you think? Go ahead.
Well, I not only saw it, but the people, when they wrote it within a period of time, that had it not been true, other people could have brought it to life, particularly like a resurrection and all these things. I mean, there's so much there. Had it not been, you know, other people saw it too.
And it's important that we know this because, you know, that supposedly these lost books of the Bible and stuff like that, they were written so far after the the time that, you know, they're laughable, you know. But like Becky said, if they were written, if the Bible was written, and I believe it was, they were all written, we can trace and we know when they were written, or generally, and they were all, every part of the Bible were, was written, the New Testament, was written within a time period that people who lived during Jesus' time would have still been alive. So it was written by eyewitnesses. Now, the Old Testament, on the other hand, also was written by prophets and in the Old Testament. And now, of course, the first part, the Genesis, was written much later by Moses, who was given a vision, you know, of what God showed him, what happened, and that kind of thing. But even but the prophets and stuff, what he's talking about, was all also written down by people, and people knew them. People knew they were alive. Didn't know a lot about some of them, but they knew they were there. And it's an important thing. What method does this world, that I don't think anyone in here will disagree, is controlled by Satan, the Bible says it is, use to knock down the trustworthiness of Scripture? He's the father of lies, okay? And so what do they accuse us of doing? Lying. You know, they just will tell you, you know, I've been called a liar before many times for using the Word of God because it wasn't the Word of God. God didn't write it. And I'm thinking, no, but his men and, you know, his men did. You know, but and understand that liars, the way they convince people that you are lying is to lie. That's just what they do. You know what? How many of y'all have kids? You know what I'm talking about. Your kid comes in, and they know they did something at school, and they're going to get in trouble. So what do? They tell you a lie about something somebody else did. Or maybe they tell you a truth about something somebody else did just to get the heat off of them. You know what I'm talking about, but that's the way it works. And so the problem comes that we, you know, we just have to be very careful that when we get into this, yes, it is true, no, it isn't true, yes, it is true, no, it isn't true, yes, it is true, no, it isn't true, to realize that most of the time we don't accomplish a lot by getting into that, going back and forth, back and forth, you know. But we have to have faith in the Word, and we have to live by the Word. Here's what the deal is. It's not you telling someone what the Word says that's going to convince them. It's you living what the Word says that's going to convince them. Does that not make sense? I mean, it's hard. But see, we don't want to do that because we're afraid we'll mess up. Well, yeah, we're going to mess up. And I don't think anybody expects you not to mess up. You know, they all mess up. Everybody messes up. But the difference is when you mess up, if they see you not trying to cover it up but confessing it and saying, I messed up, I'm sorry, and going on, some of them won't, but many of them, that's going to, you know, that will impress them. You know. Got one more thing. So, why do you think having faith in the Bible as the Word of God is important? Why is having faith in the Word of God as the Word of God important? To you personally, huh? It is. And if you don't accept it as the truth, then you're going to be shot down yourself. You know? It is so important because the world out here wants you to doubt. They want you to doubt God. They want you to doubt His Word. You know, when I talking to the kids, you know, after they accept the Lord, and I always tell them this. I always say, you know, there's two things Satan doesn't want. One is he doesn't want you to get saved. But it's too late because you've already been saved. So the second thing he wants you to do is to feel like you aren't saved. And the way he does that is by knocking down the Word of God and getting you to doubt the Word of God. Because the Word of God says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. You know, there's not a lot of hedge room there. Now, there are other places that you could go and try to argue about all of that and everything. But it's pretty clear overall that the overall teaching of the Word of God is in when you accept Jesus sincerely as your Savior, you're saved. But if you begin to doubt that, what happens? Your life ends up in a mess. You know. Something to think about. So I encourage you, you know, and I guess this thing. Probably if I ask you, every one of you, how many of you believe that the Bible is God's Word? I would bet, looking around me, everybody's in here would raise their hand. So then I would ask this question, how many of you live like it's the Word of God? If God walked in the door back there and started talking, would you listen? I bet you would. I mean, I don't know, but I think if God himself walked in, we'd all be flat on our face. I know that. And I think we'd be listening to him. The Word of God is God speaking, just like he walked in that door. And we take it way too lightly. We take it way too lightly. And that's why we get knocked down so much. And that's why our kids have such a hard time when they go off, because they haven't seen us treating the Word like we believed it. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know. It's important because as we're going to continue our study, we're going to see that these false teachers, that's what they play upon. They play upon this idea that we can know as much about God as the Word of God teaches. It's a pride thing. They don't know God. And we do. But at the same time, we can have pride, and we can think that, okay, I know more than the Word of God does. That's why some preachers get in trouble. You know, they get to thinking they know as much of, you know, or I don't know. But we can have pride sometimes in our knowledge of the Scripture and all of that and everything. But anyway, yeah, you're right. They're not Christians, the people the false teachers are. But I'll be honest with you, there have been times, Lovey, and probably you too, that I have taught things, and I look back on it now and think, ooh, I wish I hadn't done that, because it really wasn't. I don't think I was a false teacher intentionally, but I didn't do a very good job, I guess, of presenting the Word, or even, you know, I just messed it up, you know. And we can all do that. And, of course, God does things. God does train us. And sometimes the best way, you know, we get trained is when we're, you know, when we do mess up, you know.
One reason I think we really do need to know the Word of God is because they can take our own Bible and bring some passages to you that you can, you know, they take out of context.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They can show you passages, you might have a hard time them taking it out of context. You don't know your Scripture.
Right. And I'll just tell you guys this. You know, when you hear somebody telling you that it's Jesus plus anything else, that's false. okay? And we need to understand that, and you know, I don't ever want to be. In fact, I'm praying about us doing a little study on some of these false teachings, because some of them are really prevalent. You know, some of them we do come, and they're going to become more prevalent. You know, so that might be something we'll be doing some of. But anyway, anyone want to add anything or take anything? We'll continue our study next Sunday. Of course, the following Sunday's Easter, so we won't be. We'll be not having night time, but you know, we'll be having.